With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this fifth Sunday after Epiphany, hymns are 727, 398, 797, 731, and 790. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is entitled Strength for the Weary and is taken from Isaiah 40, verses 21 through 31. Welcome and may our Lord bless our worship this morning.
Good morning. Great to see you here this morning, and I pray you all are staying warm and continue to stay warm throughout this next week. I'm so glad that you could join us, though, to worship our great Lord and King together and to receive his many blessings, especially his body and blood, through the fellowship of this altar. We sing our first hymn, number 727.
Thank you.
Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness, and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem, and he gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor is pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, and those who hope in his steadfast love. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To us pray. Gracious Lord, keep your family, the church, continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. The Old Testament reading for this fifth Sunday in Epiphany comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. When he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see, who created these? He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name. By the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 9. If I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel, for if I do this of my own will, I have a reward, but not of my own will, I am still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, although not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand.
Alleluia. 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 These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Immediately, Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? These are the questions that so often need to be asked towards God's holy people. And throughout Scripture, God frequently speaks through his messengers as if baffled. In a sense, it's as if he's amazed at his people's lack of understanding. It's like when Jesus asked his disciples himself, saying, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know? Have you listened to my promises towards you for these many years, and yet still you do not understand?" That's what Isaiah is speaking to in our Old Testament reading this morning. Isaiah is questioning Israel's lack of faith, as well as their lack of understanding. And yet, in all fairness, though, I think many of us could actually sympathize with Israel's experience. Israel is here lacking faith, surely because they've been now taken into captivity. A foreign nation has come and stripped them from their homes. They've had their land and security taken away. They've been removed from family and friends. And now they've been brought into a distant land as prisoners. The faith of Israel is crumbling. Their faith, like an old water brook, is almost now completely dried up. And without faith in the Almighty, and without such living water there to sustain them in spirit, we now see Israel fainting. Their spirits have fainted within them as they have doubted God's love and power. The things are just too chaotic. Security is gone. Evil abounds. Surely God has forgotten us. But Isaiah tries to bring it all into perspective again, asking us those reminding questions. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? The Lord is still sovereign. He is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Has he not spoken to you honestly that in this life you will have many trials? Has he not spoken truthfully when he said, "I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you"? For the very same plans that are here causing you to doubt and to stumble in your faith, the sovereign Lord is using them. Through them, he is bringing about the fruition of his good and gracious plan. For although trials and evil are not good, and although we should by no means call them good, even still though, God can even use evil and pagans for his good purposes. Isaiah in this passage then gives us the key of how not to faint in spirit. During such trying times, he's here to show us how to keep our faith from diminishing during these difficult circumstances. Before we do that, though, I want to take a look at that progression found in verse 31. Isaiah writes, saying, "They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." It seems very odd the way that Isaiah builds this progression, because he begins by talking about those who will mount on wings like eagles. And from there, he then progresses into talking about those who will run and not grow weary. And then he concludes by talking about those who will walk and not faint. From a surface level reading, I think most of us would say that it seems like Isaiah is building from the most significant to the least. In fact, if we were to write this passage ourselves, I think many of us would put the order in the exact reverse order. We'd put it ourselves saying that those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength, they shall walk and not faint, they shall run and not grow weary, and then we would conclude by saying they shall mount up on wings as eagles. But again, that's not how Isaiah progresses himself. And I think he does that for a good reason, because this isn't just a bad rhetoric. Rather, what he is doing is moving from what's the easiest to what's the hardest. Because here we're again specifically talking about the spiritual life of God's children. And truthfully, how easy it is to soar in the spirit when things are going just right. How easy it is to trust in God's provisions and to keep faith in God's sovereignty when there is not a care in the world. Things are easy, and our faith is soaring when we're untouched by difficulties, uncertainties, and by the trials of life. It's easy to mount on wings like eagles when in the spirit we soar as if we're living in the heavens, untouched by the things of this world, and it's easy to soar and not faint when everything is perfect. And very similar to the soaring, does Isaiah then progress into talking about those who run? For he says, "They shall run and not grow weary." Running in Isaiah's day is often associated with those who likewise are lifted up in spirit. In fact, back in Isaiah's day, those who were most associated with running were those who carried good news. If an army had won a battle, if a foreign nation was defeated, messengers then would be running along the heights of the hills. Messengers ran along the mountaintops where there were little distractions and obstacles. They ran where there was little danger and difficulties. In fact, just a few chapters later, Isaiah speaks of those who run along the mountaintop, saying how beautiful are the feet on the mountain are those who bring good news. Spiritually speaking, then, those who run are those who have good tidings. They are those who have uplifted spirits and the joys of life and good news. Just like soaring, how easy it is to run and not grow weary when in every step there is joy and delight. It's easy to run when in every step there is in life and good news. And how easy it is for our faith to be strong when we are essentially running on the mountaintops of joy in life. The true mystery, though, is where Isaiah then concludes. Because by building on this progression, he is actually taking us further and further down into the depths. For he concludes this progression by saying that God's people will walk and not faint. Dear friends, walking is the true pace of the Christian life. Though we may at times run in the heights of joy and bliss, and though we may at times even find ourselves soaring in uplifted and in untouched spirits, and though we may live without a care in the world, but more often than not, the true pace of the Christian is that of a walk. For walking is the pace that one makes when they're traveling through adversity. As David says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." A person walks when they're in darkness. They walk when they're facing uncertainty. We walk when we're worried or facing hardship, and we walk when we're uncertain of what lies before us. But the blessed news is this, that those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Day by day they shall be strengthened and comforted. They shall walk, God says, and not faint. What a mystery it is that one should not faint when their pace is that of a walk through the deepest and darkest valley. Surely it is by the grace of God alone that the Christian can spend their life in the valley of darkness, and yet they can continue on in faith and in the strength of the Lord. It's easy to sprint when you are in the joys of life. It's easy to sprint when you are living on the mountaintops, free from danger, overflowing with delight. It's easy to soar when your spirits are in the heights of heaven, but it's grace alone by which the child of God can walk and not faint. It's grace by faith in Christ alone through which you can walk through the trials, difficulties, uncircumstances, and through the darkness of life. There are many things that can cause the Christian to stumble and fall. And there are many trials of life that can cause God's people to faint if we should not actively wait upon the Lord. For truly, we must trust and rely on God, lest we should faint in our spirits. For Christ has indeed said, in this life you will face many trials. And again he said, pick up your cross and follow me. For if they persecuted me, truly, truly, they will persecute you also. The child of God shouldn't lose heart nor faint by the way when society pushes you out from their midst or calls you intolerant. We will face many kinds of trials when we do not go along with the cultural movement and by calling evil things good and good things evil. And further, God's people are told to turn the other cheek when we should be unjustly targeted. Those are difficult. And yes, it's difficult and the narrow path to walk as it goes against our human nature. It's a difficult path to not lash out in anger when someone insults you or disagrees with you. And it is then a path that many Christians will certainly faint along the way if they do not find their strength from God. As Isaiah says, the strength to walk comes from waiting upon the sovereign Lord. Those who do not trust in the loving Lord to renew their strength will surely faint when the path gets rough, and they that are forced to walk through the valley. And another reason why a Christian might faint along their walk is simply just because of the everyday trials of life. Day in and day out, we face the same old, same old. The same tiresome, relentless work. Every day it might feel the same for us, or the work otherwise just never seems to be complete. And how easy it is for the Christian to lose sight of the goodness of their steadfast faithfulness. Frequently do Christians fall away from working as they do unto the Lord. They fail to see that what they do is a God-pleasing work. Instead, so many should rather faint along their walk. Their faith faints within them as they seek a greater fulfillment than that of the loving Lord, in loving the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving their neighbors as themselves. And many times, God's people should also faint as they walk and make their ways through the woes of life. You walk forward in the darkness through the uncertainty of what lies ahead. We walk through the uncertainty of how we can make it through our circumstances. Without the Lord, your spirit shall faint within you. But in all these things, then, notice the remedy. The cure is always the same for all of these things, and the strength comes always from the same source. For Isaiah says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The Almighty is our spiritual strength, and in Him do we rest, and we rest our souls, and we get the power to continue to walk by faith and not by sight. We can walk in strength, for His word of promise is enough to give life to our bodies and spirit. His word alone has the power to uphold the stars. He alone can sustain life and faith as we walk through the valleys. As a man should faint from a lack of breath and inability to breathe, so too should the Christian faint from the lack of God's Spirit working through His Word in their life. Trusting in the Lord and waiting upon Him is how we are to renew our strength. By and by, we wait upon the Lord in hopeful confidence, for we know that He is coming again, and He is coming in power and in might. Once He came, putting an end to the power of sin, death, and the devil on the cross. And there He crushed the head of the ancient serpent. Once He came, destroying the power of death as He conquered the grave and rose victorious again. He broke the chains of darkness, defeating the stronghold of death's domain. But He is coming again at the second advent to bring everything that's bad to nothing. He comes again to cast out sin and every evil. He comes again throwing Satan and his followers headlong into the lake of fire. Forever will He subdue His enemies and make them His footstool. And by contrast, those who wait upon the Lord will have their strength renewed. He will not put them to shame. Your waiting will not be in vain as the Lord works on your behalf today, and as He will again come again in glory. trusting and resting, waiting and believing. The Almighty works wonderfully on behalf of those who fear and love Him. His grace is sufficient for you as He is bringing you to life everlasting, and as He is working all things according to His sovereign and perfect plan. And may God the Lord strengthen and keep you, sustaining you through the valleys of life to life everlasting. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand and join me in prayer? Gracious Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have so loved us and have given us all that we need to support our bodies and life. As you have given us clothes, food, drink, homes, family, and friends, we pray that we would see you as the giver of all good things. Lead us to have faith by trusting in you, for you will never leave us nor forsake us. You will never keep us wanting or keep us in lack according to your good and gracious plan. May we find in you the peace and strength to live in love towards you and towards one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Holy Lord, as we go through life and get distracted by the things of this world, we pray that we may never lose sight of you. Sustain in us eyes that will always look towards you, and a faith that looks to you for everything that is good and pleasing. Strengthen us as we wait upon you and as we look forward to your second coming. Lead us to live in hopeful confidence that you are coming again soon to once and for all end evil, sorrow, and pain. Until that day, may we walk through the valleys assured that even there you are with us. Keep our eyes focused on you so that we can go through all trials and challenging circumstances in peace. For you are our Creator, and you have loved us with an everlasting love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, by your Spirit, may we remain faithful to our calling as your children. May we truly be a holy people set apart from this world and purchased and redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Strengthen us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to pray for our enemies, and to serve our neighbors as unto you. And also lead us to lift up songs of praise throughout our days. Use us by your power and mercy to spread your light to this dark and fallen world. May we confidently use your word as a lamp for our feet. May we progress through trials and remain faithful during difficult times, that we can bring glory and honor to your holy name. For you alone, Holy Lord, keep us safe, secure, and strong, and you are enough for us and all of our days. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of peace and order, we pray for our country, its leaders and citizens. And as far as it depends on us, may we live at peace with everyone. But lead us also to stand up for truth in love and in gentleness. Work through us and keep your church protected, that we can continue to freely proclaim your truth to the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God of life, we pray at this time all who are hurting and struggling. We continue to lift before you all who are on our prayer list this morning. We pray for our nursing home residents, that they may be comforted and strengthened in body and spirit. And we also pray especially for Daryl, as he seems to be nearing the end of his life. And so we ask of you, Holy Lord, to send your Spirit upon him, to comfort him. Give him your grace that he can confidently stand before you on Judgment Day, washed clean by the blood of Christ. Put in him your Spirit of hope, that death is not the end for those who trust in you. And we further thank you, God, for the work that you have done in the life of Butch Acuff. We thank you for keeping him strong in body as he has had his pacemaker put in. And we also thank you for the successful heart surgery that Corey went through, the nephew of Donna Howard, underwent this last week. And loving Lord, we lift up praise to you for all that you have done in the lives of these people. We pray that you continue to work mightily in all the lives of your saints. May things continue to progress smoothly and strengthen them in life according to your will. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in his most holy supper you reveal your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Would you please stand? May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith. You can depart with his peace and with his joy. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn.